Good morning, Hope. Happy New Year. It is stupid cold out there. Stupid cold. That's the only adjective that I can come up with. Thanks to our parking lot people. Are they still out there? Get them back inside. People can find their own parking spot this morning. Golly. Especially on my heart this morning are the people that had the New Year's resolution of, I'm going to go to church more. And then you wake up and you're like, online church more. I'm going to go to online church more. My name's Cor Shimoleski. I'm on the pastoral staff. And yeah, if you are new, we'd love to meet you afterwards. And so thankful that you would join us. We are at that point of the service where we open up God's word and we just essentially say, God, speak to us. Help us to hear from you. Help us as a community to have our gatherings and our fellowship more and more formed into your likeness and image. Help us to celebrate your gospel, your good news, that there is a message of the cross that's exclusive to the church. It is utterly unique from every other ideology. And so we take time in the midst of our services, hopefully in our small groups, our counseling times, our classes, to open up God's word and essentially say, God, we need to hear from you. Of all the things that we've heard throughout this week, none of it is as important as hearing from you. And so if that is your heart, that's your pulse, that's good news for now. But also, you can join us. We're doing a all-church reading plan. This is something that Pastor Steve has been guiding over the last several years, and it continues. It's even more accessible because of our app. And so we'd love to have you join. You can just see down there, hopecc.com/devotions, or look on the app. A year where we just are going to open up and read God's word together. Today, as we often do at the start of a new year, we tend to have a bit of a visioning series. This year that's going to span 2 weeks. So this Sunday, next Sunday, we are going to be looking at just who is Hope Community Church downtown? And there's reasons why we might be asking that question. Part of it comes out of my doctoral research. So I've spent the last 5 years as part of a program near Chicago. And of all the things I could have looked at, I ultimately landed on what are the challenges that face churches kind of like us. So we're a large church. We're not a suburban church, but we're not a classically urban church. We're not a small church. We're not a rural church. We're not a uber mega church. We're a large church who is in downtown, a downtown setting. And so that creates some challenges, but also because of our age, we're 25 years old. And so what does it look like for a kind of generational baton to get passed? There are people who started the church, founded it, built it, right? And more, the church will be handed into the hands of other people. And so that group is looking towards, you know, this present generation and those that will continue to attend Hope over the next couple decades. Like, you are going to be entrusted leadership. And so there's issues that come with that. And then there was another deal of Steve being the senior pastor handing me a type of baton. He's not retiring, he's not leaving, but a type of baton by installing me as the lead pastor of this location. And so, yeah, that creates some challenges. And so part of my doctoral work was to look at that. And so what I want to do now is just take some time, and we'll just start in page one here. So why are you guys laughing? This is just a half ream of paper I picked up when I was coming over. Nobody wants to read it. It's all right. But let's start today by just recounting in essentially two or three slides here the story of Hope Community Church, the abridged version, because some of you are newer to Hope. You weren't there 25 years ago when this got started. And so I just want to update us. Where has this church originated? Where did we come from? It starts with Steve Treichler, who's the senior pastor, the church planter. He was in one of his first seminary classes, getting his master's in divinity over at Bethel Seminary, and the class was on starting new churches. You can see where this is going, right? Like, but the professor pointed an empty whiteboard and just said, friends, there's your church. What do you want it to look like? And for him, fireworks started going off like, wait, churches? Haven't churches always existed? There always used to be just a First Baptist and every... No, like, you can start churches. Denominations start churches. Individuals start churches. And so fireworks started going off in Steve's mind. And this would later lead to him and 13 others starting Hope Community Church on the campus of the University of Minnesota, Stadium Village Presbyterian Church opened up their doors to us and we rented space over there. And why the church? Ultimately, like what was the pulse? What was the heartbeat? What was the catalyst to get this thing started? Comes to us from Isaiah 57. I want to read that. It was instrumental in Steve kind of getting that last push of we need to do this. Let's do this together. Let me read for you. It will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry. For then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger, yet they kept on in their willful ways. I've seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. So when Steve was reading through scriptures, doing his devotions, not unlike the reading plan there, just kind of going through scripture, he was just struck with this first verse here. Build up, prepare the road. Remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. The idea here is of a crowded highway, right? So imagine the snowstorm pile up everywhere, right? Tough to get through. And he says, you know, the message of the gospel's got to get through to people. And so it was on Steve's heart and the Heart of Hope community in the beginning to remove obstacles, caricatures, mischaracterizations of the gospel, the good news, so people can hear just a clear presentation of what it is and is not, of who is to be esteemed and who is not. And here God says, I am the high and holy one. Is there one to be exalted? Yes, God, right? And then there we are, off doing our own thing in our sinful ways, right? Throwing ourselves headlong into darkness and death. And God says, I see them. And I will pursue them. And I will ultimately bring peace, goodness, kindness, love. I'll bring the gospel. I'll bring salvation to them. And that was something that was the pulse and a huge part of Steve's original vision. That vision being to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We want our church. This is the vision. This remains the vision. Nothing's changing here. The vision is to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what our church is about. That's what we want to do. That is, all things ultimately are to honor God, to glorify Him, and not us, not our the name of our church, not any one leader. We want to honor God, and we want to do it by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We did that on the U of M campus. Over time, we would outgrow that space. Our needs would increase, and the building next door to us, known as Hope West, that through a great, amazing gift was given to us. And so we ended up moving downtown in 2003, and occupied that space. And Steve's like, yes, I'll get to retire from that space in that building. And our needs outgrew that space. And we got into conversations with the people of Augustana. Oh, sorry, that was Central E-Free. They're part of our legacy, and they gave us that building. We never want to stop, like, just chant, like, thank you, God, for Central E-Free and their willingness to give a piece of downtown property to us when we need it. Here, formerly, Augustana Lutheran met, and so 2014? Yeah, that works. Nobody knows. So, you know, 7 years ago, that we occupied this space, and we've been operating out of both spaces. But the vision is the same. The vision is not, let's get more building. No, the vision is, God, how can we help as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? We already mentioned one from on stage. Leadership development is a part of that. Our small groups are a part of that. Connecting people to service is a part of that. But also starting new churches. We're a church that got started in 96, and we've had a hand in helping 11 other churches get started. Some of them are, you know, most of them, the majority are independent churches. They've gone off. They've left the house, the nest, right? They're doing their own thing. Two of which are locations of Hope Community, one in Lower Town, St. Paul, another one in Columbia Heights. And then one is in Cross Lake, Minnesota. Because God's funny like that. Sometimes, why? I don't know. We just connected with their church planting team. And so Steve coached them. Providence Community Church is up in Cross Lake. So if you're ever, you know, at the cabin and you need a little Jesus, Providence is a great option for you. So we move forward, you know, these 25 years with this vision, doing ministry and starting churches. And yet, 25 years in, as part of the doctoral work, as part of connecting with other pastors, one of the key pieces is just asking and answering the question, who is Hope Community Church downtown? Not Hope Community Church at large, but just what does it mean for our body, for us as a church family here? What's our identity? What are we about? Who are we? Who are we becoming at this age and stage of our church? And so that's the question that I want to go after the next 2 weeks. And I'm going to do it by just, by way of analogy, I'm going to use a house as a metaphor. And today we're going to talk about the foundation, the bones, the guts, the foundation walls, the stud walls, right? The insulation, just those things. And then next week we'll get to, how are we going to decorate this? What's this look like and feel like? But today I really want to stick with the bones. You guys seen the HGTV show, Good Bones? This is a, I got one. Mother-daughter team, right? So they do the renovations, just like every other show. No, uniquely special, nobody like him on HGTV, but I've had a chance to do some home renovations, and there's just something unique about looking at a stud wall and being like, huh, I gotta put this back together. But why? Why do we start here? Because anything that cracks in the exterior, anything that shows itself in a drywall, it's going to come back to, where's the foundation? How was this built? And so that's why I want to take some time to look at that. And we're going to rely on our vision statement. And kind of a shorthand way that we've referred to the vision statement over the years is looking at the gospel in community on mission. We want to honor God. How do we best honor God? By living under, receiving, believing in the gospel, believing that his revelation of his son, Jesus, and his life, death, and resurrection is ultimately what's going to honor God the most. Not something we can do for him, but honoring, acknowledging the work that he's already done. We do that with this gift called the church, a fellowship, a family, that we can continue to point one another back to the gospel. And as part of that, on mission in the world. Not because we must or have to, but because we're invited into that space. We are given the opportunity to live life under him in light of others. So let me walk us through that. I'm going to rely on some kind of classic passages that we've used over the last 25 years. There are other passages that speak to the gospel and community on mission. These are just some of the ones that we've clung to over the years and have become special for various reasons. In regarding the gospel, I want to hit two slides from Romans chapter 3, really well known within the Christian church that speaks of God's work through the gospel. If you read through chapters 1 and 2 of this letter, it's Paul writing to a church in Rome. He's going to say, all right, here's the deal. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. The righteous will live by faith in this, trusting in God and his goodness. And then he goes basically down this long, winding journey to say, okay, so what does that mean for you and me? You know, what does it mean for those who don't keep the law, but those who do keep the law? What does it mean for those who are religious and those who are irreligious? And he basically has this rhetorical back and forth, asking questions, answering those questions. And he gets to his summary statement in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 here. It says, what shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? And he's speaking for the religious, the Jewish people. What's the answer to that? Not at all. You don't have an advantage. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles, the lawful and the lawless, is essentially what he's saying. So that's everybody, right? He's saying everybody is alike in that we are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. What about me? No, not one. Well, I serve in the community. No. Your lawfulness or your lawlessness, right? That's not ultimately what we have in mind here. In comparison to God, who lives in a high and holy place. That's what it says in Isaiah, right? None of us does good. in that standard. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. That's the summary. That's where Paul gets in three chapters. And culturally, ideologically, our culture would say that's just not very positive. That's not very affirming. We need to cite and look at the positive, right? And I think the Bible will say, yeah, we'll get there in a minute, but do you understand the reality? Do you understand what's at stake in living underneath a God who lives in a high and holy place? In view of him, very quickly, we should recognize our smallness, our finiteness, and yes, our sinfulness. Why? Because we're not him. We're 2 days into the new year. How many of us are just like, I'm not feeling it. All right, maybe next year, right? Like it's just brokenness so quickly. Weakness shows up. So what do we conclude? None of us are righteous. Either because our lawlessness, our irreligiousness, that we throw ourselves headlong into sin, or we actually try to do all the things, try to be lawful, try to be religious, try to check all those boxes and realize, I can't do it. And if you're feeling that in heart and mind, you're at the exact spot that Paul wants you to be. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. Because we got to him? No. He came to us. The law and the prophets testify about this. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Sacrifice of atonement. Death of atonement. Death which covers. Death which atones for sin. Death which zeroes that out. And not only that, speaks to our favor because of what Jesus has done. We are invited into a place. It's not just that we get zeroed out and then there's this neutrality. No, God showers grace that we might be welcomed in to his family. A sacrifice of atonement, a death which covers through the shedding of his blood. We can all understand the analogy of a warm blanket on a cold winter's night. That's what the gospel is in completion, in totality, warmth. Brought in, forgiven, loved. That's what the gospel speaks to. Martin Luther summarizes, the law discovers the disease, the gospel gives the remedy. The law discovers the disease, the gospel gives the remedy. And so at Hope, part of the good bones, if you're gonna peel back the drywall and get into the ceiling or the attic space, I pray, I hope that wherever you look, you find evidence of the gospel. That's the message. We're not going to build a church around good sayings or stories or personalities. The gospel again and again and again. That's ultimately why we're going to come and take this temporary, short-lived physical meal so that we're reminded of the spiritual nutrition that's found in Jesus and him alone. I want to share a story, Kevin's story. Kevin has been attending Hope recently and God's changed his life through this church, but also the people that are in his life who've been preaching the gospel to him, whether through word or through deed, whether through physical examples of love or actually communicating love. And I want to share his story. He got baptized at our most recent baptism. This is Kevin's story. Last Sunday, I got baptized and it was a life-changing experience. Lately, I've had some big wake-up calls and have wanted to make some huge changes in my life. I've been starting to live for God and what he wants my life to be. He can truly heal and nothing is ever too big for him. Why am I getting baptized? My life before Christ was simply death. I was trying so hard to fill this life of worldly things, which ultimately led to so much sin in my life. I died. My life has changed so much in such a little time since proclaiming Jesus as my Savior and crying out to receive him. I finally have hope, just simple hope for my life and future. I have hope that I'm not powerless. I have hope because I'm forgiven. I have a savior now. A Bible verse that is my favorite is John 5:1-9 about the healing pool. The man lying there for 38 years. And for Jesus to ask, do you want to get well? Jesus then tells him to get up and walk, for he was healed. That resonates with me. I'm getting baptized today to accept and celebrate a new life in Christ. I am committing to Jesus publicly as someone who struggled to believe. I died, and now God is helping me to see the light amongst all the darkness. I'm going to obey his story for my life. That's what the gospel does. The gospel transforms, changes, rescues, heals, brings from darkness to light and from death to life. That's the foundation of our church, and it's changing people's lives, and we're so grateful for God's work in Kevin's life. That's one of the good bones. Another one of the good bones is community. Now, let me introduce some tension into that right away. Seth Godin is one of the few people that I subscribe to a daily blog, you know, because you can just get so much. You're just overwhelmed, right? Especially at the start of the year, maybe you started like, I'm going to read more. And then your inbox is filled. You're like, I got to unsubscribe from all these. He's one that lasted for me. And he's not a Christian. He's an entrepreneur. And he just looks at life differently. He tries to take a different angle to understand things. And this is one of his recent blog posts called, What Did You Expect? Okay? If you open a roadside motel, expect that tired and demanding budget travelers will arrive. What did you expect, right? If you run a fancy restaurant, don't be surprised that people will angle and cajole and lie to get a better table. If you hustle to get market share, you'll probably end up with customers who insist on ever more hustle and trickery to stay with you. If you decide to become a coach, realize that most of your prospects will be people who don't think they need a coach. Because the people who want and need a coach already have one, right? What did you expect? If you attract new freelance business by being the cheapest, I'm betting that your customers will give you a hard time about your rates. If you're a mental health professional, expect that the people you encounter will have issues with their mental health. What did you expect? Sometimes things work the way they are supposed to, even if it's not what we might want in the moment. So why do I share that? Because we just got done speaking about the gospel. The gospel is for people that recognize that they're a sinner, that recognize the state of their soul, that recognize I have brokenness, I have weakness, I have pain, I have disgrace, I have shame, I need help. You look to Jesus for that help, right? And now amongst that group of people that respond to that message, not the people that are still at home waiting for football to start. Well, I want football to start too today, but right? But we gather together under that message. And then we say, hey, all you broken people, get together. Right? That's community. Okay? So that's one of the good bones is community. But many times we come in with a wrong impression of what that means. Godin says, what do you expect to happen when you get a group together that recognizes their brokenness and starts to talk about their brokenness? What did you expect to happen? Because I think many times we go in a small group and we're like, well, I expect friendship. I want to find my best friend in small group. I want to come into a group where they all recognize I have woundedness. I have needs. And they, out of the abundance of their health, and out of the abundance of the time that they have, and out of the abundance of the resources that they have, and out of the goodness of the heart, they want to help and focus life around me, right? I mean, we would never say that walking in a small group, but many of us carry that into our small group times. Me, I'm hurting. I'm the one who needs help. I'm the one who needs attention and affection. Me, right? And the reality is, you got a small group of 12 people, all 12 have some of that, right? Honestly, I walk into small group. I have needs that I want them to meet. I don't tend to come in there saying, I just want to bless. Oh, if I can just give to others and encourage others and see others, if I could just be invisible to the group so all I might do is shower them and they'll be like, where's this coming from? And I just bless them. They're like, this is amazing, right? We don't come into small group like that. It's a great irony that one of the good bones of Scripture is God putting broken people together. Why? So that we ultimately rely more on Him, not on ourselves. That the point of small group is that we together might remind one another of our need for Jesus, pointing one another back to Him. I want to read a couple passages. These passages have been utilized at Hope in the past. I love them. I love them. So simple, yet so helpful and obvious. Look what it says in Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Two of the disciples, okay, things are going well. Then all of a sudden Jesus gets arrested, gets crucified. They scatter in fear. Holy Spirit comes. All of a sudden they're out preaching, proclaiming, right? At risk of their lives now. They realize it's at risk of our lives. Why? Because Jesus was crucified. And the people saw the courage. They realized they were unschooled, ordinary people. That'd be just a great banner for your small group. Hey, come join us. Why? Because we're unschooled, ordinary people. Like who? Like what? Like, are there a couple other adjectives you would want to use to describe your group? You know, caring, compassionate, helpful, unschooled, ordinary people. They're astonished. What'd they take note of? Aren't these weren't they part of that group that followed Jesus? That's what was noteworthy about them. That's what should be noteworthy about our small groups, about our church. Very ordinary, very common. Some brokenness. Say hurtful things at times. But I do know they've been with Jesus, right? And that's really what small groups about. Us getting together week in and week out, saying, hey, go to Jesus. I just want to remind you, Jesus loves you. Hey, you've been forgiven. You don't wear that any longer as a coat of shame and disgrace. Cast it off at the cross, right? That's what makes community landmark. Not that you'll find your best friend. You might. Not that you'll find love. You might. But that's not the point. The point is that we, as ordinary, common, unschooled, somewhat selfish at times, point one another to Jesus. He's at the heart. He's at the center. Hebrews 3 puts it this way. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. It starts by saying, don't turn away from the living God, right? It ends by saying, hold that conviction firm to the very end. How do we do that? In community, we encourage one another daily. Don't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You and I have a propensity to have our hearts get crusty, stale, stiffen, harden. And one of the ways that we protect against that is to encourage one another. God is good. But I'm not seeing it. God is good. All right, but I see in my life this, this, this. I'm wondering about this. God is good. He's with you, not against you. The cross screams His love for you, His acceptance, right? But so often in life, we wake up and we instantly start walking by sight, not by faith. And we start to trust our view of the world and not His. We start to trust our better judgment than His, right? We start to question, God, are you seeing this? Because if I were in charge, I would do this, this, and that, right? And we need community to say, hey, maybe you've been wrong before. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe God knows what He's doing. And we together as a community point one another back to Jesus. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Small groups are arguably the best expression of smaller community amongst the large. You heard that from Kaylin. I'm going to say it again. They are a place to know and be known, a place to grow in your relationship with God through being in relationship with other believers, studying God's word, and fighting sin together through prayer and accountability. We describe it that way because that's what a small group is. And yet many of us come into community not with those things in mind, but with other things in mind, with a trailer full of other desires and expectations when it comes to small group. One of the chief ones is just that Everybody there is healthy. Everybody there is godly. Everybody there is having a great day. Ed Stetzer, in line with Seth Godin, says something similar of, a church without the broken is a broken church. We are a common, ordinary, broken group of people. And that's okay. Why? Because that's the group that responds to the gospel. We shouldn't be surprised. What did you expect? You started sharing a message of salvation, of rescue. Who's going to respond to that message? People that sense, I need to be rescued. I need to be helped. I need to be made whole. I need healing. I need salvation. That's who I'm speaking to. That's our church community. And it's okay. God can work in the midst of that kind of people. I grabbed this about a year and a half ago, I think it was, Elsa Tempty posted on social media, got her permission to share this, even though she posted publicly on social media. No, I don't know how that works, but I want to make sure it was okay. She says, the best decision I made in 2020 was to join a small group at my church, Hope Community Church downtown. It's when this church really began to feel like home after going for a while. So grateful for each of these people in this group, our leaders, and the way these people point me toward God. What's the goal of small group? Point one another toward God. That's the good bones. That's the foundation. We collectively come into this place to acknowledge we're in need and point one another towards Jesus. That's the aim of small group. That's the good bones of community and of small group. Gospel, community, mission. Gospel, community, mission. Good bones that are the foundation of Hope Community Church downtown. This last one on mission. I'm gonna come against any idea right here, right now that puts you at the center of this, because you just heard on mission. Okay, this is where I do. I'm gonna get to work. Put hand to plow. I got business I gotta take care of. Jesus needs me. No, all right? If anything, we need to confront that because of the words of Jesus himself. Let me take you to Matthew 16. It says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Did you hear it? That last line? Who's building the church? Jesus. Jesus is building his church. Jesus is on mission. Okay? Now, part of that mission is to have the gospel preached, have believers gathered together in things called churches, right? And have them reflect his message, his gospel, his goodness to a watching world, to be that lamp on a stand, a city on a hill. Absolutely. But not because he needs us. This isn't just something that you must do, you have to do. Rather, it's something you are invited to participate in. Jesus has the mission. First and foremost, it's his mission. It's his church. He's doing the building. He's doing the work. Nobody can come to Christ unless Jesus draws them to himself. That ultimately the foundation of any church, when we speak of mission, is that the mission is his, not ours. And his mission will continue until sin is fully and finally eradicated from the face of the earth. It was dealt a decisive blow at the cross, and it will come to fruition at the start of the end of all things, right? We're not there yet, so his mission continues. And then I think it's us. As the church, under him, are we recognizing that this is his mission, not ours? This is his church, not ours. It's not the church of any one person or a group of people or a group of leaders or the staff. It's his church. He's the one that ultimately started Hope Community Church. Oh, Steve, it was those 13 others. Yeah, Jesus decided, I'm going to build my church. Huh. I'm going to plant something at the University of Minnesota. Ultimately, Jesus is the source and the center of all mission. And then I think there's an opportunity, invitation to you and to me. Do we want to join him? Even here, there's a sinfulness and a selfishness that exists in me. I'll share this just from my vantage point. You can try it on as a coat and throw it off if it doesn't fit. But if you know the comedy of Jim Gaffigan, he is one of my favorites. There's this great bit about a pickup truck, especially people that drive pickup trucks. And he started to kind of just have this revelation of like, everybody I see driving a pickup truck is not picking up stuff. I don't get that. He actually asked his brother-in-law, hey, we're at the nursery, I want to get a tree. I want to get a tree and bring it home and kind of put it in, the bed of your truck. And he says, no. Jim's like, why not? You'll get it dirty. That's what it's for, hauling stuff. Some of that stuff might be dirt, right? And he goes into this comparison of like, it's like somebody that would just carry around a suitcase, an empty suitcase. Like, why would you have that available and not actually utilize it? And the expression he said that I've never forgotten, he's like, oh, I don't actually pick up and carry stuff with my truck, but I'm the type of person that would do that, right? Is Korsha Mielewski on mission with Jesus, waking up excited to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ every day? No. But I'm the type of person that would proclaim the message, right? Like, it's so easy to be like, associate yourself with this halo angelic, yes, I'm a Christian, sharing light and life with this world. And no. I'd like to be the type of, I think of myself, but I'm often not. I got a pickup truck that I don't ever haul anything, or I got a suitcase that I carry around. I don't actually take a trip anywhere. Many times I have the gospel inside of me. And if I'm honest with myself, I'm the one who puts a bowl over the lamp. Because if I was really honest, I'd share about weakness and how God has brought strength, or I'd share about the darkness, how God has brought light. I'd share about the death that I feel at times, where God has brought new life. But that would cause me to have to acknowledge I'm not okay. I don't want to do that. So I cover it up. As a church, many times we can cover it up. Where did this whole message start? With an acknowledgement of our weakness, of our need, of our darkness, right? We need the gospel. Why, when it comes to mission, are we so quick to just kind of cover that up, cover up our need? No, we're okay. We're here to help you. Oh, the city needs us. The city needs the church. The city needs our goodness. Maybe a great testimony of the church is to acknowledge our own brokenness, the brokenness of our communities, the brokenness and darkness that exists even in the church. We're no better than the Twin Cities. We're part of the Twin Cities. We've just been told about this rescuer, this savior. We say yes. We say yes to Jesus. Now, does that make how we think about and how we engage community unimportant? No. But I think it centralizes Jesus as the heart of the mission. That we, again, even in mission, even going out, we're still proclaiming him. A little bit more next week on what's called contextualization. Just as a little bit of a taste, a little teaser, Tim Keller says this, contextualization is not, as is often argued, giving people what they want to hear. Rather, it is giving people the Bible's answers, which they may not at all want to hear, to questions about life that people in their particular time and place are asking in language and forms they can comprehend, and through appeals and arguments with force that they can feel, even if they reject them. If we acknowledge the brokenness, acknowledge the pain, acknowledge the last year and a half, acknowledge the suck, right? I think that puts us in a great position to connect with those in our lives. How we respond, that's where I think the gospel becomes special and unique. It's a different ideology. It's a different way of looking at the world. We actually get to give them bread of life, hope for the future, guaranteed not to break or fall despite the most difficult storms. So who is Hope Community Church Downtown? community that reflects the gospel. It says we need one another. And this is ultimately about him and not us. That's the bones. That's the foundation. I hope when you come into this space, when you participate in this community, you have that as the backdrop, as the foundation. That ultimately it's not about personalities, not about getting this church to a certain size, not about a name being known. No. Rest, rely, enjoy, delight in the gospel in community on mission. The gospel in community on mission. With that, this is a message spray painted on the floor over at Hope West. We had to renovate this space. We had to renovate that space. And if Hope Community Church were known for nothing else, 25 years, 50 years, 100 years from now, hopefully they replaced the carpet before then, we might have given that building to someone else by then. But they pull back that carpet. They see that message. Who's this about? What's this all about? It's for God. All things are from him, through him, and to him. All of this for God's glory. Is that your heart? Is that your desire? Is that your hope for 2022? I hope so. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, the hope these last 25 years. We are not a perfect church. We are not a perfect people, but we know the perfect one. We know who is. We know of your goodness, your grace, your salvation, and we thank you. We worship you. Help us to continue to build on that firm foundation, not go seek a different foundation, to not chip away at this solid foundation, but the gospel in the context of your church community, because you're on mission in the world. That's our hope. That's what gives us joy. That's what is a catalyst for us for this new year. Not our own diligence or endurance, not our own resolutions, but the fact that you are resolute in your gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.